Well, welcome. Welcome to Caching in the Northwest. Hey, did you know this is the only podcast dedicated to geocaching right here in the great Pacific Northwest? Tonight, we'll talk about caches and cachers unique to this little corner of the country. So, while you're standing there holding her purse outside the dressing room, we'll be caching in the Northwest.
And we can't do that until we bring in our seafaring monkey. Some say his feet are natural flippers, and others say he can hold his breath longer than a dolphin. All we know is he's called Land Monkey.
Well, and that's why he's been referred to as Captain Sea Monkey during Mary Hyde.
Oh.
There you go. Hey, thank you for another gracious introduction. We are excited to have another fun-filled and fact-filled episode of Geocaching Fun to share with everybody tonight. We also wanted to take a few moments to thank our faithful Denali-level supporters. That's Limax, Team Squirrel, and WorldCaching.com. If you want to know more about supporting the show, make sure that you go on over to CachingNW.com on our website and click on that Patreon link. And that's how you can support us and help us make sure that we can keep these quality podcasts coming. Well, for tonight's show, speaking of quality podcasts, we're going to talk about cruising and caching with the Land Sharks, Helen and Chris, who are better known as the Land Sharks. And welcome to the show, guys.
Thanks. Pleasure to be here.
Yeah, thank you so much for having us on the show again.
You are most welcome, and we are very thankful for you coming back to the show after being on here once. All right. It's always a good sign, right? They actually do. All right. Hey, before we get started, we want to remind all of our listeners that you can earn your very own GLOW or Geocaching Log of the Week badge by submitting to us a geocache log that you read or you wrote, and you will earn a GLOW badge.
Exactly.
Take it away, Chris.
Just like Land Monkey said, whether you wrote it or whether you read it, we want to hear about it because, you know why? Great logs make geocaching better. So all you need to do is send an email. Take that log, copy it into an email. Make sure you address it to feedback@cachingnw.com. Or better yet, call into 253-693-TFTC or use the voicemail tool right there on the website. And make sure you show us how you glow.
Yeah, right there. It's right there along the side, I believe. Or maybe it's this side. I don't know. If you're on audio, it's on one of the sides. Anyway, tonight's glow, submitted by and logged by GeoGuider75, and it is from One Fish, Two Fish, Red Fish, Blue Fish, also known as GC46Z96. Always like the Zeds. Gotta love people with the Zeds. And the log reads, "Oh my gosh, this was the perfect cache for me to find today. Here's why. I arrived on campus last Sunday, having driven from Edmonton with an overnight in Merritt to attend the one-week residency for the Professional Communication Management Certificate. This week has been jam-packed with exercises, reading, learnings, and of course, the Leadership Team Challenge, which took up my evenings and most of last night. I got back to my dorm room at 3:30 this morning. There wasn't much time for caching, though one of my teammates is a geocacher too, and we took a bit of time early in the week to find one cache on the grounds together, more so as a break to get us away from the project. I digress. Today, our final day of in-person classes, we presented our challenge material, and after lunch, did a wrap-up about our experience this week. This evening, after meeting a few fellow students at a nearby pub, I thought I should take advantage of the sunlight and explore the campus a little more. Plus, there was this cache to figure out. To be truthful, I wasn't quite sure I would be able to, given my 2.5 hours of sleep last night. But I found all the signs, no problem, as I was also curious about the spot, so I was reading everything as I went along the way. Anyway, the ladders were cool. Really, really cool. As I'm walking after finding Ground Zero, which, yay, I managed to get the correct coordinates for, by the way. Amazing. I'm listening to the water rush through the ladder, and I realize that this is the perfect metaphor for my week here at Royal Roads. Holy crap, thank you so very much for bringing me to this place, both figuratively and literally.
Oh, thank you. You know what? It's
what?
Really good to have you back, Wits End.
Mm-hmm. Well, thanks, I think.
We've missed you.
And not just your cold reading skills in the
Oh,
in the clothes.
There's no way we fill those shoes.
Now, there was a shortage of Zeds in the usernames.
Yeah, definitely. Now, this particular glow was submitted by somebody near and dear to us tonight. Yes, it was submitted by the Land Sharks. Thank you so much. We appreciate you taking the time to submit this. This is a nice story. We like those.
Yeah. And the ladders are fish ladders, in case right. you
Or they were at a, you know, big box store and, you know, yeah. hardware store there looking at actual ladders.
Or they were in Houston or Miami.
Ooh. Distasteful.
You're still glad I'm back?
Let's move on. you know, if you happen to be celebrating a milestone cache, Brylin, and why not take the time to call that into 253-693-TFTC and share it with the entire Northwest community, Brylin? Or you can use the handy dandy voicemail tool right there on the website. So
I get a feeling that there's something you're getting at there.
Social media.
7,000 things?
Social media has told me something that I didn't hear, you know, any other way, like, you know, through a call on the voicemail line or, you know, an email.
There you go.
So there you go.
There's always milestones going on, folks. So you know what? We want to hear about them. 253-693-TFTC.
Bryling's defending himself. He's not the only one celebrating a milestone.
That's right.
Three Hams, Case Mon, and Mulder Clan. Come on, guys. We need you. We want to hear about your milestones.
Right. There's no evidence of any milestones occurring. Not here on the podcast, anyway.
Oh.
This is the sphere of our reality.
Yeah. That's right.
Outside this cone of silence, we know nothing of what's going on.
Blissful ignorance. All right. Well, something else that's blissful is our hashtag Wish I Was Caching contest, which we're seeing some great uptake, and really appreciate you guys having some fun with it. And there's lots of entries happening. And remember, every time that you post a hashtag Wish I Was Caching, you get an entry into the contest. So some of you guys are really cranking up the entries and really setting up some good odds there.
Yeah.
Why don't you give some examples?
Well, hey, how about we all give some examples? Like Tick Magnet via Twitter said, "Pocket gophers damaged my underground power line. Ooh. Now I'm digging in 110 feet of new wire. Believe me, I hashtag wish I was caching."
Boy, can't blame him for that one. Mm-hmm. Dormor contributes, discussing kayak caches with Brylang. Oh, the memories. Hashtag wish I was caching.
IHAMS tossed out there. Wonder what bombshell this morning's meeting will drop. Yesterday's was a doozy. Hashtag wish I was caching.
Nice. And hey, oh, Brylang did contribute. Monday morning, back at work after a 300-plus find weekend. Hashtag wish I was caching. Oh, there's a milestone story we could have heard by audio.
Maybe.
Another gorgeous day outside, another day working in the office, and oh, look, rain for the weekend. Hashtag wish I was caching today.
Nice specifying that one. And this one from Natasha De Jong. Hashtag wish I was caching. Love to be walking in the sun, hear the birds, see the flowers, drink some coffee, and find some smileys. This was last Sunday near Oman, Newfoundland, Labrador. I suppose that was accompanied by a picture, which looks great on the audio podcast.
It definitely.
Is it Oman, Newfoundland, or was that Netherlands?
I don't know. Maybe it's Netherlands. I don't know.
A name like Natasha De Jong.
I just assume everything revolves around Canada.
Well, that's a good assumption to work from.
Yeah. Maybe it's Newfoundland. Maybe it's Netherlands. Maybe it's northern Louisiana. I really don't know. I think that Natasha De Jong should call in 253-693-TFTC and read this out herself and let us know.
There you go.
We want to hear the accent, whether it's a Newfoundland accent or a Netherlanders accent.
Or a northern Louisiana.
Yeah, exactly.
Which I guess would be a Dutch accent.
That would be interesting as well. Well, folks, before we jump too far into this topic, how has everybody's week for geocaching and outdoor-related activities been? If anybody's listening live, and I know you are, Go ahead and toss that into a FTAS line. That's a hashtag FTAS. And we'll catch that up later in the after show.
Very nice. Well, I guess this was the first weekend to start doing some sea tows. So we did that. We went out and had some fun. We found a really, really cool cache, posted the photo on Instagram up in a park called Mundy Park in Coquitlam. It's very unique. It's a bison tube that somebody made in their garage that's like the size of my torso.
That was the biggest bison tube I've ever seen. Mm-hmm. I saw that picture online.
That's absolutely amazing. It has a bunch of favorite points. I would highly recommend. That is a cache that is sought out by people to go and check out. It is so much fun. But then we also went and helped with an invasive species pole, ivy pole in, what park was that in? That was in Burnaby Lake Park. So that was good. Got out, nice. Got some caching done.
Yeah. So we had an interesting week, or an interesting story with the vacuum. I didn't get to go caching. Helen ended up going caching, but started off in the office here, and we one of us was vacuuming the floor. Anyway, the vacuum's making a huge amount of noise, so I ended up taking it apart, and in the process got everywhere, just the big cloud, the explosion of dust. And there's some pictures on, is it Facebook?
Instagram,
of the vacuum in a million pieces. But anyways, you guys decided not to breathe the dust anymore.
We couldn't sit here and work. There was no way. So we closed the store, closed the door, put a sticky note up, said, back at noon. And four ladies, we went off geocaching. And Claudia, who is quite new, she actually has never been geocaching. So we took the opportunity to do an introduction to geocaching. So there was Christy, myself, Claudia, who does our bookkeeping, Monique, our graphic designer, none of us in appropriate footwear, but we took off in the community here and went off and found caches for about an hour. And we came back and Chris had cleaned up the floor and was heading off shopping to buy a new vacuum called Henry.
So I don't know if you've seen a Henry vacuum, but it's like a little sort of tub-shaped vacuum with eyes, and its nose is where the hose is. And it's got a little smile. Yes. It's a good little vacuum.
There you go.
So the vacuum has a name, Henry.
Oh, you have to have a vacuum Henry. With personality.
Well, it's got that.
Way, yeah. And now Claudia knows how to geocache. That was good, too. We've been meaning to take her out. We kept putting it off because we were too busy. And when the vacuum exploded, it's like, okay, time to go geocaching.
Hashtag wish you were caching. Or no, I guess Chris was hashtag.
That would be Chris.
That was me for sure. Yeah.
Awesome. Hey, did you guys have some sort of event going on over in the Victoria?
Yes, there was a CETO at Esquimalt Lagoon and a post-CETO nourishment thing afterwards. And
there was an intro to
GSAC. There was an intro to GSAC, actually. We had Kevin over here doing an intro to GSAC and then an advanced seminar afterwards. It was a busy weekend.
Nice. Yeah.
Very nice. I didn't get any caching in this weekend. I had a little family emergency to deal with, and my vacuum didn't explode, but my microwave and my toilet broke. So that kept me busy.
Not at the same time.
Actually, yes.
Yeah. Oh.
Which begs the question, what were you doing? But
I was going to say, you should not put the toilet in the microwave.
It was the other way around. I thought it would fit.
Trying to flush the microwave. Yeah.
I was trying to clean the microwave. And
yuck.
Toilet paper everywhere.
Yeah.
But if you have a dead microwave, there's some usable parts in there. You can make your own spot welder. Just saying. Or Jacob's Ladder or some other fun projects.
Ooh, a Jacob's Ladder. That'd be fun.
You turn it into a geocache.
Oh,
there you go.
What could go wrong?
Oh, actually, talk about a hot geocache.
We have found a micro in the woods that was an old microwave.
Ah, we found a toilet.
We found a toilet in the woods.
It was a geocache. Yep.
Oh, dear.
Oh, boy.
That was a good one.
So, Chris and Jim, are we going to see you guys this weekend with any geocaching activities?
I think I'm going to have to wind up working, so I don't think I'm going to make it, but I'm going to try.
Okay.
You should try. Land Monkey and I are going to get together. We're going to do the Auburn Geocoin Adventure 2017 this weekend. So that should be fun.
Yeah, looking forward to that.
Yeah.
All right.
Starts with a Friday night event, including a night cache, and on into Saturday. So apparently we don't have to sleep Friday night. We just keep caching right on through.
Sure.
Yeah.
So it's a typical Land Monkey geocaching adventure.
Exactly.
Right. Sounds like it.
Awesome. Well, so we're really looking forward to the Auburn geocaching adventure there. And some more news we heard from Geocaching HQ. They write, at Geocaching HQ, we are on a mission to make every person an explorer and make every location an adventure. As a cache owner, you've helped do just that, and we're excited to release new functionality on your geocaching dashboard. You will now have the option to view logs and pictures on the caches you own. Even more exciting, you will see when your cache earns a favorite point. We hope this will improve your experience as a cache owner, as you'll now be able to learn about the status of your caches and get the recognition you deserve all in one place. And it concludes with thank you for being a cache owner. So nice. I think that's some more. Yeah, it is nice. I think that's some more good updates to the dashboard, which is, again, for people who don't know, the dashboard is that primary area when you click on your own logo that you get all your kind of stats and updates and last caches you've looked at, etc.
I've heard of that. It never shows up in CGO, but I've heard of it.
It does not show up in CGO. That is correct.
I don't think it shows up on the geocaching app either. I think it's only on the desktop version, isn't it?
I believe
what they're talking about, yeah.
Yeah.
Nice. Well, you know what? We're really here to talk to the land sharks. I mean, we have fun talking about what we're going to do and what we've done, but you know what? We want to talk about cruising and caching with these fine folks.
Absolutely. Geocaching cruise adventures. But before we get to the cruises themselves, it's been a little while since you guys been on the podcast. So for those new listeners that might not be familiar with the Land Sharks, give us just a quick background on who the Land Sharks are, what you guys do, and all that kind of stuff.
Okay. Well, so I'm Chris, and this is Helen, and we are together. Our geocaching handle is Land Sharks. We've been caching since 2005, yeah, so a few years. And somewhere along the line, we got involved in geocoins, and we ended up with landsharks.ca, which is a commercial website where we sell geocaching supplies and coins and things like that. So we love geocaching. We love being part of the our local community here, and at the same time, we're able to make a living with this being part of what we do. So it's very exciting to be able to really contribute to the community and in doing something that you love recreationally. So through this, we've been geocaching all over North America and Caribbean and Scotland. And we love geocaching. We use favorite points actually as tour guides for ourselves. When we're traveling, we really pay attention to things like how many favorite points geocaches have, and we'll use those as the destinations. And we use it as a travel guide. That's one of our favorite things to do when we're traveling. We do so much when we travel that some people have even asked us if we're, are you from Utah? Are you from somewhere? Because we end up doing lots more, probably more geocaching while we're out and about, taking it easy than when we're here busy doing life. So anything to add to that?
We've had people, we really like to travel. We were avid travelers before we got into caching, and we just even amped it up even more. We like, adventure, some extreme adventure. We've been down 4x4ing and caching in Death Valley, Utah. Death Valley and Utah. And, out in the desert in Arizona. So we've done and some pretty backcountry stuff here on the island. So we're not really afraid of, getting away from it all. We've had people say that, they'd love to come along with us on some of our more sane adventures, which is why we started the geocaching cruises. We had no clue that people would want to go with us. We thought we'd put it out there and say, hey, we're going to do a Caribbean cruise. We're going to go geocaching. If anyone's interested, you're welcome to join us. And next thing you know, we got 46 people coming to the Caribbean with us.
Holy cow.
yeah, it was a really, really amazing time, that very first one.
Wow.
That's impressive. So this isn't your, we're going to talk about cruises tonight, but obviously you've done cruises before. This isn't something new. You're getting to be quite old hat at this.
I don't know if you can be old hat. Can you? Because
yeah,
well, each one is its own adventure for sure.
We've been on 4 cruises. 2 of them were geocaching related. One was geocache. We went geocaching, but we just kind of were away with another couple who were getting married, and just the 4 of us. And that's when we realized that there was geocaches like all over the Caribbean islands. And so then
at least
we went,
there was.
So that's
now
when
all
we
all over the Caribbean islands.
Yeah, they're probably, some of them are probably floating right now. Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
So yeah, though the previous ones we did was a Caribbean cruise about 2.5 years ago, and then last summer we did an Alaska cruise out of Vancouver up to Alaska and then back to Vancouver again, which was amazing. We had about 56 geocaches come along on that trip. I think we had almost a dozen from the island here, because it's so close. When you just walk on the ferry, you get off the other side and take a bus to the cruise ship terminal.
It was really convenient for us, for Jade.
Yeah.
So
nice.
Very cool.
Yeah, so we've done a few of them, and it's a lot of fun.
Yes, absolutely. So you know what? We're gonna ask you to start spilling the beans now, though, and tell us about the upcoming cruises. Where they'll be to, when they'll take place.
So next summer, we're cruising the Baltic Sea, July 15th to the 22nd, leaving Stockholm and returning to Stockholm. And we're going to Finland, Estonia, Latvia, and we have 2 days in St. Petersburg, Russia, which is going to be phenomenal. And then in January 2019, we are cruising the Caribbean. We're doing a 10-day Caribbean cruise, which goes all the way south to the ABC Islands, which is Aruba, Bonaire, and Curacao. So it goes all the way south to there. Also goes to Turks and Caicos and Dominican Republic and Bahamas and somewhere else, I believe.
So if I get this right, the Baltic Sea cruise in July is going to 5 countries.
Yes, that's guaranteed as 5 countries. And then we realized that when we fly from Vancouver to Stockholm, one of the more affordable airlines, which actually has a fantastic reputation, is Iceland Air. And if you fly Iceland Air, they have this great perk where you stop in Reykjavik and you can either stay on the plane and continue on to your destination in Europe, or you can get off in Reykjavik for up to 7 days at no extra cost except for your expenses for the hotel and meals and things. So basically you pay for a flight from Vancouver to Stockholm, or we're going actually Vancouver to Oslo, and then we're going to hang out in Russia in Iceland for a couple of days on the way, which is just seize the opportunity. You know, this is the time to do Iceland, since we're going right over and the plane is stopping there anyway. So we're getting off for 2 days, and then we looked at the map and realized, okay, if we go from Iceland to Stockholm, there's just going to be this big gap on the geocaching map called Norway.
No.
So,
Norway.
Yeah. So we thought, okay, we'll go Vancouver, Iceland, Norway. So 2 days in each place.
Oslo.
Yeah. And then on to Stockholm. A day, and we get in there the day before the cruise.
So that was our way of getting to Sweden. And then, so we kind of put it out there that if people are interested in joining us, you know, you're welcome to do so. And now I think we've got over 40 people doing that leg with us. So we're planning some geocaching related tours and stuff like that to make sure that everybody gets an opportunity to do some exploring with us, with the group, find some geocaches, and at the same time have some time to, or you know, during the time have some time to explore on their own as well. And that will be the case both in Reykjavik and Oslo, and then we'll all get arrive and meet everybody else, if there's anybody else left, in Sweden. In Stockholm, yeah. The day before the cruise,
we got over 50 people so far signed up for the Baltic cruise, the Baltic Sea cruise, and it's just about 10 months away yet. There's some cabins left for people that want to join us. There is space available still.
The ship's filling up fast, actually. Yeah, it's surprisingly fast. Yeah.
We our travel agent we're working with this time is Tara. Christy here is a licensed travel agent, our office manager, but she has increased her hours here just
because she has too much on her plate.
She has way too much on her plate, and she would have ended up doing it at home on her free time. So she recommended a colleague of hers, Tara Bradley, who's now doing all of this, you know, all the organizing for us. And she's great, fantastic lady, even really, really fantastic to work with, just like Christy was. And Christy is still here and, you know, answering questions and helping out with stuff, but she's only doing it during her time when she's at work at the office with us. And yeah, so we're really looking forward to Iceland because it's only 2 days. We're doing the key things that people usually see, like the, it's like, you know, you take your top 10 list. We're picking out the key things to see and do, key earth caches and destinations, historical spot, UNESCO World Heritage Sites, you know, geological phenomena, things that, you know, you have to really see when you go to Iceland. So we're doing that. So if people don't get back again, they can at least say they, you know, they've seen and done what's best to do in Iceland.
Truly, we think it's going to be a teaser, though.
Yeah.
It's because we've heard a lot about Iceland. Lots of friends that have been there, and it sounds like it's going to be a pretty neat stop. But it'll be a fun teaser for sure.
Nice.
So yeah.
So you're stretching five-stop cruise into 7 countries.
Yeah.
And the Caribbean cruise is a 10-day cruise, and I counted up 7 islands you were going to stop at.
I believe so. Yes, that sounds right.
Wow.
So it's all about lighting up that map.
Exactly.
And it's all different islands than we did when we did the Caribbean cruise about 2.5-3 years ago. It's no repeat places at all. I don't believe there's anything repeated.
That's impressive.
Which was very cool. And it's a new ship that's only being launched in November or December of 2018. So when we go on it, you know, at the end of January 2019, it's going to be quite new. So that's going to be amazing to do that, to be on the ship that's so new. But, yeah,
well, you're bringing so many people, they have to build new ships. And larger ships just to accommodate
the land sharks
geocaching
cruises.
Cruises.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. They're getting ready for us.
Now, if somebody wanted to join in and get in on this cruise, how would they prepare for it? You know, what essentials do you need to make sure, you know, they have all these things in advance?
Well, you don't actually need a lot more than if you're going on vacation. One of the key things is preparation of things like passports and stuff like that. You want to make sure that you're, not only is your passport up to date, but it should have an expiry like a year beyond the end of your trip. There are some countries that actually won't allow you entry if your passport expires within 6 months of the trip. Basically, if you have a medical issue and you end up landed in the country for a short period of time, they want to make sure you have a valid passport. So good idea to make sure that it's valid for at least a year ahead. So that's sort of an early prep type thing to do. Otherwise, just kind of get a good sense of the weather that's going to be there. Make sure you've got appropriate clothing. On the cruises, there's often a formal night or something that's a little bit more formal than just sort of casual dining. So you want to have some clothing that's suitable to be, you know, it doesn't necessarily have to be shirt and tie, but certainly a little bit more dressy than just super casual, so that you're prepared for, you know, some of the shipboard things. And some people, even if they like to dress casually, may find that it's a little bit awkward on a formal night because everybody else is dressed up a little bit. So you're certainly not out of place having a button-up shirt and a pair of pants for those types of occasions on board. But otherwise, basically, you want to, you know, you can do a little bit of homework if you want ahead of time about the destinations you're going to. Things like the currencies that you can use. You in the Baltic one, for example, you can't use U.S. dollars in or even euros in some of the countries.
I think Estonia is euros.
Russia, they don't take U.S. dollars. Mm-hmm. Or yeah. Euros. So you got to be a little bit of knowledge like that. We have a for the people that have signed up to the for the cruises and paid their deposit, we have a private Facebook page where we start sharing this information with the people that are coming, so that and there's for those that are not on Facebook, we'll make sure they get that information so that
by email, we're going to be making an email distribution list. Tara just gave me information yesterday on currency and debit cards and credit cards and what's recommended. For example, one really good thing to do is let your bank know and your credit card company know that you're traveling, especially to Russia. And a lot of these places prefer that you use credit cards in those countries. And there's also ATM machines everywhere, so you can get out the local currency, but it's only going to be good in that one country. So,
so you don't want to take out too much,
and you want to try and use debit or credit if you can first. And the grocery stores, I guess, don't take credit cards. A lot of them do not take credit cards. You have to use debit at the grocery store. So I've got all that in the information I'm going to be putting in the group tomorrow. A bunch of currency stuff.
That is great information, especially for people, well, like me, that have never been on a cruise, always wanted to, never been on one. Don't think I'll ever make one.
But I know a couple of you could come on.
I would love to, believe me. So you mentioned maybe formal night. Are there other activities that take place on a cruise? I mean, really, people talk about cruising being relaxing. Is it actually relaxing with all the activities that you've described there? And of course, as long as all these activities we're talking about, the big question on everybody's mind tonight, will we find enough geocaches if we go on the cruise?
Yeah. So the way you can do as much or little as you want on any cruise, really, they're definitely relaxing. Well, the way we structure the port visits, for example, we'll put together, we'll have a tour or something like that, or a bus where we go on a tour, get a sense of the location. Depending on where we are and what we're doing, we might get engage in a little bit of the history or you know, certain sites that we'll look at. But then we make sure that there's also time for people to explore on their own. And at that point, you can sit on the beach for a few hours, or you can go and walk around town, or you can go back to the ship if you want to. Most people, you know, kind of spend the maximum amount of time ashore. But you definitely are not, there's no push to like be busy until the end of the day. There's lots to do, or lots of relaxing to be had if you want when you're ashore. And during the sea days, there's activities on board, but everything is optional. You can go to a show in the evening, but you can certainly sit around. There's lots of sort of relaxing opportunities to relax and take it easy. There's really no...
Look at Jay's picture.
So yeah, an example.
So there, this is earth caching, this picture here. This is Helen and...
Laura and Tracy,
earth caching. So this is the type of like really hard geocaching that they were doing.
This is not typical earth caching. Let me point that out. In case you're just listening to this, we've got three ladies in a hot tub looking through the railing at a glacier in, is it actually in Alaska or is that still in Canada?
It is.
That was in Glacier National Park in Alaska.
It was very close to Canada, actually, when we were at that point.
That's pretty relaxing geocaching. That's probably the most relaxing I think I've ever done.
Yeah, and on the, you know, will you find enough geocaches? We make sure that there's an opportunity to go geocaching. The tours that we've got, we have some private tours happening, not ship organized ones, but ones that we're organizing for the Baltics in particular, and they'll be set up such that we'll be stopping at some places to get some geocaches. We also, wherever possible, Helen and I both enjoy earth caching, so we'll see if we can't get to somewhere that's really kind of got some cool earth caches, kind of like the glacier that you just saw. We asked the ship to go there. And so it's, definitely get some caches. For us, it's about experiencing the location, exploring a little bit of the culture, the history, the place, enjoying that, making sure we get a couple of geocaches in, quality ones. But it's not about trying to find as many caches as we can. That's just not how we are. But that said, on that time that you're, you know, you can explore on your own, or you can take a whole day if the tour things are optional. You can go out and just go geocaching and do nothing else if you wish. Our philosophy is, you know, immerse yourself in the place and really enjoy that and get a few caches while you're doing it. So that's our take on it.
You only need one cache in the country
to light that map. Exactly. Oh, I know.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. We usually have Roy Alexander, our CA777, and he's a volunteer reviewer as Cache Shadow. He's coming on the cruise, and he makes up, in the past he has, and we're going to ask him nicely if he'll help us again, but he's always made up pocket queries for all the areas that we're going to, so that everyone can load their GPSs before we leave home and be totally ready. So if you want to find every single cache in Oslo and you've got time, you can do it. And if you just want to get one or two, that's fine too. So that's the way it's available. And usually our tours, when we do a tour, we don't tour from, you know, the whole time that we're off the ship. You know, if we're in port from 8 a.m. until 8 p.m., we might go on a tour that starts at 9 and get back at 1 or 2, and then people can spend the rest of the day in the town, do whatever they'd like to do, which could be, you know, going to the museum, or it could be finding a whole bunch of caches.
So Jay's running some pictures there from our Alaska cruise. And there's a train, from Carcross, Yukon, down to Skagway. Just some amazing scenery. Obviously, you're not geocaching while you're on the train. You're just enjoying the location and the place. And it's just absolutely, it was a 3-hour train ride, something like that.
There was an earth cache that we logged from the train.
Yeah. But I mean, just a fantastic opportunity to sit back, relax with a bunch of friends who have similar interests and just enjoy the place.
There's Indigo Dave.
Yeah, that was quite a...
That was a cacher in the
locomotive.
Yeah, in the jump seat.
Yeah, he used to work on that railway in that car, and he got a ride in the front. Yeah.
How cool is that?
I remember that story. That was great.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So we also, just real quick, while we're on the ship, we also do a few other things. Like we have a daily get-together just to touch base after the day. We organize the dinner time so that we have an area that's ours for dining in the main dining room, so that the meal times, when they're on the ship anyways, you have an opportunity to sit with your friends and so on and connect on the day's activities and that kind of thing. I do a photo seminar near the beginning of the trip, so people can, if they're interested, it's optional, but if you're interested in learning a little bit about taking holiday pictures and getting the best out of your holiday pictures, there's a little seminar on that I run. We also do some meet and greets towards the end of the, or sort of get-togethers towards the end of the cruise, just to sort of wrap things up. And we do another one at the beginning to make sure everybody knows who's in the group and what some of the logistics about, you know, the meal times and how things are going to work and so on, just so that people have a chance to touch base and make sure that they know who's who in the group. And on the Baltic cruise, we're also going to have a little mini golf tournament. We have the last day is a sea day, so, and they've got a golf course on the ship, so we're going to do a little mini golf tournament. We did that in the Caribbean, and it's a lot of fun. So
nice.
I think one of the great little events that you had as well on the, and now we should also clarify for the geocachers listening, these aren't official geocaching events on the ship, so you're not going to get a smiley on the moving ship for coming, but you'll have your own smiley from all the fun you're going to have interacting with the other new friends you make. But on the last day, I think it was the last sea day coming back from Alaska, you guys had an event where everybody got together, and we also were able to all collectively go over our Earth cache answers before submitting them when we got back.
Yeah, we plan on doing the same again on the last day, the last sea day of the Baltic cruise.
Yeah, so the day we're doing the mini golf, we're trying to book a meeting room to get together and do like an Earth cache debrief, and then also do the mini golf on the last sea day. So what we do with the debrief is we go through the Earth caches, you know, discuss them, brainstorm the answers, and we offer to send in the emails and list everybody in the group for the Earth cache owners. And if people want to send in their own answers, they're welcome to do that. But we offer to send in the emails and list everyone in the group so that the Earth cache owner doesn't have to receive, you know, 30 emails. And when we've done that before, the Earth cache owners have always said, thank you so much. And they also really appreciated the list of names. So they could, you know, then watch and see as everyone logs. We've done that, and we'll do that again too.
Yeah, nice. That was really helpful. And it was really interesting when we were having the discussion in the room. how some people would interpret the questions differently. And so there was some lively but very polite debate about some of the answers. But it was fun. It just made it fun as well. So that was great.
Oh, yeah. That was good.
It was. So thank you guys for doing that. So let's talk a little bit about life on the ship for those who maybe haven't been on a cruise. And the Alaska was the first time that Mrs. Landmonkey and I had ever been on a cruise. So we really weren't sure what to expect. So maybe share what kind of amenities are on the ships, and like food and beverage options, rooms, markets, entertainment.
Yeah, there's a great big dining room. The one, the Alaska cruise, I think it was two stories. We get a section of it for our group. So we had maybe 10 tables and we were all in this one area of the dining room every day for dinner, which was fantastic. There's also the buffet. So if someone doesn't want to go join, you know, in the main dining room for some reason, maybe they were at the spa over dinner time, so they go and eat it. They could eat at the 24-hour buffet. There's also late night. There was a late night pizza place right by the pool. There's snack bars. There's an espresso bar. So when you get up in the morning, if you want, you can go and get yourself an Americano to start the day. They also have specialty restaurants. So they had like an Italian one or a Japanese restaurant where they cook at the table, and they, you know, they have those, but they're a premium restaurant. So usually you have to pay $10, $15 or $25 extra to go dine at those. And we didn't find it necessary. We were totally happy with the meals we had in the main dining room and the other restaurants.
There's theaters then. So they have live entertainment for the evening time in the evenings. There's all kinds of shops. There's a liquor store, there's jewelry stores. They're really big into trying to sell jewelry. I don't know why people buy jewelry, I guess, on these things, but there's a lot of jewelry. There's jewelry stores, liquor stores, there's souvenir shops. If you forget toothpaste or whatever, they've got that.
They got clothing, socks, shoes, you name it. Yeah. If you forgot something, toiletries.
Yeah, there are some nice t-shirts and souvenir t-shirts.
Yeah, some nice t-shirts and things, bags, you know, if you want a beach bag or, you know, for some reason there's something you need. Hat, sunglasses, they have all that there. And you don't carry any money. When you shop on the ship, you put it all on your room card. So you kind of be a little careful of that. At the very end of on the last day, you'll find the bill tucked under your door on the last day. So, yeah, and if you buy any, espressos or for any alcoholic drinks, all those are not included, so they're extra. So if you go to the piano bar in the evening or the karaoke bar and you want to, you know, have a glass of wine, that's going to be extra cost, so that you use your room card to charge all those things. And in the evening, there's piano bars, there's dancing, there's, you know, there's ballroom dancing and disco dancing and cabaret style shows. You can go and watch the Can Can Girls. There's variety shows and singers. And
there's a casino.
There's a, you want to curl up with a book. There's a library.
There's a spa and a fitness center, a running track. There's lots to do on board, or there's just beach chairs and you can sit there and be a beach bum on the deck.
Yeah. There's board games. So the library has books and board games and things like that. You can, then there's backstage tours. So they offer like tours of the bridge or tours of the galley. Yes, you can do that as well. They have courses. Like we actually went to an amazingly educational whiskey tasting.
It got more educational as the whiskey was flowing.
That was a double thumbs up.
Yeah. Yeah,
and there's the spa, so you know they have all the facilities there for that too. You can get a haircut, get your nails done.
Nice.
I need to get my nails done.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. There's tons to do, and then there's also a deck chair. You can just go hang out with a book in a deck chair if that's what you want to do. Get your journal out and write about it.
I'm interested, Jay. Was there something in particular that surprised you because you have not been on a cruise?
I think a couple of things that were really interesting to us, you know, it sounds simple, but the library concept, where there is upstairs really nice space on the top deck with great views and just like 360 almost degree views out the windows, lots of really comfy chairs and an amazingly large selection of books. And so Mrs. Landmonkey and I each had found a book we wanted. And there was one particular day where it was kind of rainy and it was a mostly at sea day on the way up to Alaska. And so we just found some books, made ourselves comfortable, grabbed a coffee, sat down, and spent a few hours just reading and relaxing. And it's not something that would have occurred to me that you'd be able to do. I was kind of thinking, oh, well, if it's crappy, you'll just have to sort of sequester yourself in your room or sit down in a restaurant. And I didn't realize there were so many other options. I think one of the other things I really enjoyed was up in that same space, when we were heading into Glacier Bay National Park, they had naturalists come up into that library space and start explaining to everybody what we're seeing and talking about the wildlife, which is also really fascinating.
One of the earth caches that we did when we were in Glacier National Park, you actually had to get the answer from the naturalist. You had to go and talk to them and get one of the answers. That was pretty cool.
Yes.
Nice. Yeah. Nice. In the chat, Paul adds that you can monitor your tab on the TV in your room. So you can watch what you're buying, perhaps what somebody else in your room has bought. Not saying, just saying.
Watching the television as the numbers blink, 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 blink. Uh-oh.
It's a bit like a telethon. You don't want those numbers to go high, though. Let's go check the tote board. Nice.
Yeah, I think that might depend on the ship and the as well. So not all the ships have the same amenities, the same amenities or the same services. And so it might depend on that. But you can always get an updated, even if you couldn't, you could always get an updated statement on, where you stand and, from the purser's office at any time.
Good. It sounds like you guys have put a lot of work into this. How do you go about organizing it? I mean, obviously you have help.
Yes, we have help from this year from Terra, and we basically look at the world, what's happening right now, where's a safe place to go traveling. That's one.
It is hard to predict out a year, though.
It's hard to predict out a year. I mean, who would have seen all the hurricanes in the Caribbean? My goodness. But we kind of look for an area that we haven't visited. We like to get out to somewhere new. And then look at places where there's lots of geocaches, where it's, going to be safe to go walk the streets and, affordable for visiting the shops, eating, just, for daily things. Once we've decided where we want to go, then we choose dates based on the weather, quite often on when people are available to travel, which looks like July and August are popular, even though it's high season, it's when most people seem to be available. And then we start researching, and choosing, just choosing a cruise line and the ship that's going to the ports that we want to go to and the order or the dates we want to go. So we, that can take us a month or 6 weeks or 2 months sometimes in the planning before we're committed to, okay, this is the cruise, these are the dates, let's start putting this on the website. So then we go to our we got a website, travel.landsharks.ca, where we start populating all that behind the scenes with as much information as we can. So there's lots there so we can try and answer people's questions. The things we know are going to come up, we try and fill as much content as possible. And then we use our social media channels just to get the word out there and say, hey, we're going and doing this. Do you want to join us? We work with a travel consultant, as I said last time was Christy and this time it's Tara. And we have all her contact information on that. We also have a Geocaching Adventures with Landsharks Facebook page, which is, there's some discussion happening there. People are thinking about it. So we're very, very present. We're answering questions as much as possible, trying to help people make a decision if they want to come along or not, if it's the right fit for them. And
it's an ongoing effort, though. So we know what the itinerary is. We know the ship. People are reserving their place on the cruise. And we know we're going to Iceland and we know what flights and so on. But even today, we're still looking at this hotel issue, for example, in Reykjavik. We're still nailing down exactly which tours we're going to be doing and so on. So it's an ongoing process as we sort of narrow down into each little piece of this and firm it up. And sometimes it changes too as the numbers change. So we start off thinking, okay, well, this is how we're going to lay it out. And so we get a hotel booking and then we realize, oh my goodness, we got too many people. Now we need to change hotels. So now it starts the process sort of all over again, looking for something a little bit bigger. This hotel in Stockholm, it's really important that, so one thing that we weren't so sure about on the itinerary of the cruise was that the first day is actually a trip, will be in Helsinki, Finland. A lot of the cruises we've done in the past, the first day is a sea day, and that's perfect for doing a meet and greet. Make sure everybody knows who, you know, who we all are, and then just sort of doing the intro and all that kind of stuff. But if we don't have a sea day at the front end of this one, so we're going to do that in the hotel the morning that we go to the cruise ship. So it's important that we have a meeting room in the hotel. So there's all these little things that we kind of have to pull together to make it happen. But it's all worth it. It's fun.
Yeah, and there's a couple of geocachers in Europe. Like we have a network through our, you know, 11 years of geocaching and having the business, and we've got connections and people we can send an email to and say, hey. So we're talking with some of them about the best things to see and do. Well, it turns out that one of the geocachers in Estonia, his wife is a professional tour guide. So we're going to be connecting up with her for discussing, you know, where's a good place to go and, you know, things to see and do there.
That sounds awesome. So if someone's interested in joining one of these cruises, You've talked a little bit about this, but maybe we can recap the whole idea about how do they find out questions about availability? Like, are there seats left? Or I guess they don't call it seats, cabins left. What are the costs? And, you know, any other prerequisites? Where do people get information about this?
First of all, our website is travel.landsharks.ca. And on there, there's contact information to get a hold of Tara, our travel consultant. Her phone number, do you want me to read out her number?
Sure, go ahead.
Okay, area code 250-748-2594. And there's a toll-free number as well, 1-800-748-2594.
So Tara basically is the one that would work with you to help select which type of cabin and what the cost, try and get the best cost you can for that particular type of cabin, give you any information and details, and just make sure that you're booked on everything and the deposits are properly paid. She can help with the flights to make sure that you're all synchronized. So she's sort of really good at helping put that package together from wherever your start point.
Yeah, like getting to Iceland, people are going from Vancouver, Toronto, and Halifax, I guess, and maybe Edmonton. And we all get into Iceland, I think, the same morning within an hour of each other.
Wow,
that's impressive.
It's looking like it might line up like that. But I mean, sometimes airlines, you know, they do flight changes and things, but that's what she's trying to coordinate right now, so that one bus picks everybody up from the airport in Reykjavik basically at the same time. If you get there, if you're the first ones there, you can go find a couple of caches near the airport while you wait for the last group to get in. I already checked. There's some caches within walking distance of the airport if we get there first.
Nice. So it's a race to get there first. Okay, I got it.
Yeah.
Well, these cruises sound absolutely amazing. And I think the bigger question is not, you know, how would somebody want to join? It's just how would they get there? You know, not if they do it, but when, how? So with all of the fun things to do, the geocaching, the cruising, everything, what is your favorite part? It might be a hard choice of a geocaching cruise. What makes you want to keep doing them for people?
For me, I think, we enjoy just sharing the adventure with other people. You can go and travel on your own and you have a good time. But for us, we enjoy traveling. Well, we do travel. We travel together, just the two of us. But we also enjoy traveling where you can share it with other people, share the adventure with other people, and make new friends while we're doing it. So we really enjoy that aspect. So, and this obviously is a perfect way for us to do that. And you know, from what we gathered and people that have joined us, it obviously is a fun way to go and spend some time with like-minded people and just explore a new place. But the other part of it, what I really like, is traveling to these new places that I haven't been before. And it's something like going to Estonia, for example. I would not necessarily choose to go on a flight to Estonia to go and have a holiday, but I am absolutely beside myself with joy that I can get on this cruise with a bunch and do some geocaching and go to some of these places that I normally wouldn't go to on their own. We can get a little taste of some of these places, and they actually look fantastic. We've done it. From the research we've done, we get to explore some neat cultures, some places that are a little bit out of the way for us here in North America, and just experience a little bit of this. That's my favorite part for sure.
Yeah, It's really great. And it's like group caching. You know, when we get together with a bunch of friends here and go caching, it's the same thing, but on a bigger scale. And we get to meet new people that, you know, we then have connections with, often for years and years later. We keep in touch with people that we've been on the cruises with and, you know, connect with them if we ever show up in their town. So for the people that are geocachers, that maybe they've got a circle of friends in their hometown that they don't, that doesn't geocache, but they're a cacher, the cruise is fantastic. Because, you know, we've heard of stories of people having to sneak away to find a cache when they're on vacation with their friends who aren't cachers.
Here it's the other way around.
Yeah, here it's the other way around. So we offer the opportunity to travel with a group of people who get enjoyment from geocaching. And saying that, though, we have had a lot of people come along on the cruises that were friends and family members of the cachers that had a fantastic time, because we don't go cache crazy, and they can also take off and do their own thing if they want as a family. Yeah, so it really works.
But the adventures and the tours and stuff like that, they're not just about trying to do a power trail. They're about exploring the culture and the place that you're visiting. So it's a lot of fun for everybody.
Yeah, and everyone comes home with really amazing photos after going to Chris's photo seminar.
I can only imagine. It sounds spectacular. Chris and Helen, thank you so much for joining us this evening. Now, where can our loyal listeners find out more about land sharks? I mean, if you're watching the video, you see behind you an entire wall full of geocoins and other interesting things. What can they find out about land sharks?
Well, the easiest way is to visit landsharks.ca, our website. So landsharkz, or Z, I guess,
.ca.
So, and if you're in the Victoria, Southern Vancouver Island area, or Lower Mainland coming this direction, or Seattle, decide you want to take a break in the wild north of our neighborhood, then we actually have a storefront here in Victoria, British Columbia.
And on our website on landsharks.ca, you'll find links to all of our other social media channels. We're on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest. Anywhere there's social media, I think you'll find us.
Nice.
Fantastic. I'm going to go follow some of those as soon as this is over.
Exactly.
And my fellow co-hosts, until next week, where can people find out more about, well, you guys? Mr. Landmonkey, sir?
Well, thank you. The website is always landmonkey.blogspot.ca, but, you know, check out YouTube. Search Land Monkey on YouTube and you will find all kinds of videos of our Land Monkey adventures, including probably some stuff from the Alaskan cruise. But also follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Periscope at Land Monkey GC. We'd love to have you follow us and share our geocaching adventures with you. Wits End, my friend. Nice to have you back.
And thank you.
Folks want to find out what you've been up to.
Well, just tune in Thursday night and listen to me flap my lips and yammer away. And if you want to find something really interesting, go over to Land Monkey GC on most social media. Otherwise, I'm Wits End on social media here and there, but don't waste your time. Chris of the Northwest, sir.
Oh, Land Monkey GC. That's where you're going to find the interesting stuff.
Yeah.
You know what? You can also find something at anywhere you can find Caching NW, whether that be Twitter, Facebook, Google+. Better yet, head on over to cachingnw.com/hosts, and there you can read our bios. Find out why we're talking to you on a Thursday night, and look at all of our social media. But most of all, we want to say thank you. We want to say thank you for taking the time to listen to this episode of Caching in the Northwest. And don't forget that you can be part of the show. Call into 253-693-TFTC and leave us a comment, ask a question, or email us an inner tube any time of the day or night. Of course, you can always email us at feedback@cachingnw.com. Your support helps keep quality shows coming. So if you like this show, please click the Patreon link on the cachingnw.com website. This show's licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution 3.0 license, copyright 2017 by Chris Umfenauer. And folks, stay tuned for
the after show.
Oh, the after show. We'll try to keep the after show a little short. We've had a very full episode, and rightfully so, because I think there's more we could talk about.
I think so. Kristen Hillen, do you mind hanging out with us and our viewers a little bit longer?
Quite happy, yeah.
Awesome.
Nice. So,
all right.
We asked earlier, you know, shoot out a hashtag FITAS, and we'll include it in the show notes, or include it later on in the after show, if you did any caching this week. And Dora Moore was the first one, and I think really summarizes a lot of our geocaching experiences. She said, I fell in a lake.
Oh. Picks.
Oh, so
I can attest to that because I actually witnessed that.
Did you push her?
No. No, but I saved her life. I actually saved her from drowning. So,
well, thank you. That was good.
And I told her that I was going to keep bringing that story up as often as I possibly could. Yeah, that was actually part of our geocaching weekend adventures. Dora Moore invited us out to join her and a few others on a boat heading up the Pitt River and Pitt Lake to get to some T5 caches that would be just a crazy paddle to get to in the kayak. So that was a lot of fun. She did not drown, so that's good. And we had an amazing Saturday out with some friends.
I love that Chris's first question, though, is whether you pushed her in or not.
Some people know me better than other people. I don't know.
Nice. Team Finn says they had some CETO fun. Thanks to Deb, we attended an awesome CETO.
Very cool.
Could it be CETO?
No, it's CETO.
No, CETO.
I agree. Oh, let's see. Keats Morton says, found 25 caches in North Mission. Didn't see one bear, sadly.
He wasn't near the garbage dump, obviously. There's a big dump up in North of Mission that the bears hang out at.
That's where the bears go, yeah. You might have been closer to where they, the federal lands where everybody does their shooting, the bears go.
On a quite important note, IHAM says, help throw an engagement party for Decachinator after he proposed near GC17.
Wow. What did he propose?
He proposed marriage.
Oh.
Well, congratulations.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's pretty awesome. Yeah. Congratulations.
Now, Monkey Cake said there was no time for caching. Too busy partying.
Mm. Nice.
And that would be Decachinator's mother.
I was going to say, Decachinator is part of the camp clan then?
Yes.
Yes.
That's very the cool. Youngest of the camp clan.
Nice.
Let's see. Keats Morton says, I learned that hops grow in the Burnaby Lake region.
I hope you took a waymark or a waypoint.
Or some hops. let's see. IHAM's going to see us in Auburn.
Awesome.
Yeah. Oh, we have some good information from Broncos Fan for Life about the Auburn Geocoin Challenge, Geocoin Adventure 2017. It says there's going to be 12 traditional, 5 multis, 2 puzzles, and 1 letterbox.
Mm. Yay, multis.
Mm. Yeah.
Sounds like a fair bit of work.
It does.
Good. Sounds like fun.
IHAM asks, and maybe this is an entire show topic, have you ever found a highly favorited cache that makes you wonder, why is this cache so highly favorited?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
definitely.
Yeah. And go, you know what? I don't have to put a favorite point on this. I'm not, you know, bowing to peer pressure because, oh, look at all the favorite points. It was an okay cache.
I know people that in the early days of favorites were using favorites to keep track of their first finds.
Oh, okay.
Had nothing to do with it. Whether it was good cash.
Interesting.
Not a good idea.
No.
It should be.
No, it's not a good idea. On the plus side, that'd only be one favorite for that cash, theoretically.
Well, that was that one person. Like, I mean, that was just that one person. He was doing that on all his first defines, was putting a favorite point.
Okay.
No wonder I have so many favorites unused.
I think that's one of the reasons.
I've tried to sell mine on eBay. Nobody wants them. My favorite points. Let's see. Start Cacher says, I drove 45 miles to get a geocache. You're in for a treat. I hope that's the name of the cache.
It is.
That satisfied monthly challenges from both the geocaching vlogger and the podcast show. It's the only remaining UK geocaching podcast. This is for the geocaching vlogger, the cache was greater than 10 years old. And for the podcast show, it was a mystery cache that started with X, Y, or Z.
There you go.
Interesting. So what's the, okay, so this is challenges from the geocaching vlogger and the podcast show. What's the point of the challenges? Like, does it get entered in a contest or something?
Maybe. I know that the geocaching vlogger and Cache Advance get together and every month do a geocaching adventure. You know, go find a multi-cache. In this case, go find a cache that was greater than 10 years old. So.
Okay. Well, there's several mentions in the chat of NIP, which... Googling tells you is either new in package or naked in public, but I think in this case it's Nightmare in Preston.
Which could also be naked in public.
That would be a nightmare, especially if you saw me out there. 13 caches scheduled to go live on the 1st of October.
Very cool. Well, hey, while we're talking about nightmares and scary things at night in geocaching, I think that people should be planning for Friday, October 13th, to come on up to Richmond, where we've made a special arrangement with the Richmond Nature Park and the city of Richmond. We've got geocachers getting night access to a park that's normally closed at night. And let me also tell you that the ringleader of all this is Dora Moore. So anybody who's been to one of our summer events that we have in the Vancouver area knows the caliber and level of quality that we're talking about here. This event, I'm just quickly going to pull up the GC code for it while I speak. But
and
this
if
event,
if you need to look for it, go to cachingnw.com/events. I've put it as the must do Northwest event, one of the must do Northwest events of the year.
Very cool. Thank you, sir. So yeah, one of the other things that's going to be really cool about this, not only do you get to go into the park and walk the trails after dark when you normally can't, but the existing caches, which are part of the GeoTour. So if you haven't done the GeoTour, you will get to log some of the GeoTour caches. But those existing caches, you will find out what mysterious, spooky things happen to them when the lights go out.
You know, there is a reason the parks are closed at night.
That's right. The caches transform.
Hey, yeah. That's an event. I'm hoping to get there myself. This is something I want to see. Start Cacher said that, you know, he's doing these challenges and geocaching vlogger gives away a coin and the podcast show gives you a trackable badge.
Well, there you go.
So it's worthwhile to go do those.
Yeah.
Very cool. All right. So I think that pretty much wraps up hashtag FATAS for tonight.
We've had great feedback. Thank you, folks. We appreciate you. Each and every week, you come in and you make this show a conversation rather than a monologue. And we appreciate you. So much so, people are whistling all over the world.
You hear our sirens? They're coming after Jay again.
Stop pushing people in the lake.
That's it.
Yeah, that's right.
See? See, he admitted it.
No, he just said that's what
I knew it.
Awesome. Well, Chris and Helen, thank you guys so much for hanging out with us. And it looks like what you were able to share about the cruise has made definitely an impact with our live audience and those who are listening to this.
There we go. That's so true. Also, all right, they're gone. They went by.
Time to turn off the lights in the store.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thanks for hanging out with us, guys.
You bet. Thanks. Have a good night.
Thank you so much.
Good night.
And until next week, folks, get out and get caching in the Northwest.
Peace out.